Welcome to another episode of The Empowered Midlife. I am your host, Dr. Tracy. And listen, I have got an amazing, amazing guest today. She's amazing. Listen, we met a few years ago, and her story is just one of these stories that you have got to hear. And I wanted her to come on today because I think she's going to make some of you see yourselves differently and understand the importance of spending time alone. So, Daphne, James, welcome to the Empowered Midlife Podcast.
Thank you.
So give the people a little bit of information about you. Like, what do you do? Where you from? Who your people are? All that good stuff. Because I really want them to understand a little bit about your background and how you got here.
Okay. So I'm actually a a loctician. My background, I am a U.S. Army vet.
Yes. Thank you for your service. How many years?
10 years.
10 years.
Yes. I am a wife. I'm a mother. I have two daughters, and I'm the youngest of three, born and raised here in Albany, Georgia.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. Now, what she didn't tell y'all when she was talking about the U.S. Army vet, 10 years, y'all, she was jumping out of planes. Like, this is not an ordinary person sitting over here, y'all. She was jumping out of planes. First time I heard that, I went, wait, what? We do that. We jump out of planes. But she was used to having this vibrant life in your 20s and your 30s.
Yes.
Right? You were used to going, going, going. And then all of a sudden, what happened?
I honestly don't. I don't know what happened.
That's how it shows up. Like, I can't explain it.
It was the fact that it just seemed like life just kept getting harder and harder and harder. It just seemed like I just couldn't get a hold of anything. And one time I was miserable, and being that I was miserable, I was making my family miserable.
Ooh.
It just seemed like I was trying to do everything and I wasn't getting anything done.
Ooh, now that's a word right there. You were trying to do everything, but you were not getting anything done.
Yes.
And not only was it affecting you, but it was affecting your family.
Absolutely.
So at this point, you and your husband have been married for how long?
It'll be 19 years.
19 years. Come on, 19 years. I love it. I love it. But when you started noticing this change in you, not being able to juggle all of your balls, because you were in school when you and I met.
Yes.
I think you were like your last few classes.
Yes.
Right. And then you were also working in a barbershop, getting those hours in so you can have your own salon.
Yes.
You have a daughter in her 20s.
Her 30s. Her She's 30.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yes.
In her 30s.
So I'm telling my age.
Yeah. In her 30s. And you had a student that's still in K-12.
Yes.
Yep. And 16. A husband that works shifts.
Yes.
So you were kind of juggling all of that. Mm-hmm. And life just going, hey, girl. Hey, here I am.
Yes.
And you notice, like, I'm not doing what I was normally able to do. Mm-hmm. I was able to keep all these balls in the air. And now some of these balls are getting pretty low to hitting the ground.
Yes.
So that's where we met each other.
Yes.
Yeah, you came in and there were some things that you wanted to see differently. Were you having any physical symptoms that you noticed?
As far as I wasn't sleeping, just like I said, I was just constantly just irritable, tired all of the time. My patience was so short, as the young kids say, I was crashing out.
Oh, you were crashing.
Yes. And at the time, I think I was... It was just to the point, like, I just couldn't hold it together.
Mm-hmm.
And I started feeling like a failure.
Oh, my God.
Because, just like I said, I held all of this together in my 30s and my 20s. And here it is. It seemed like the older you get, it seemed like you should have everything together. Mm-hmm. And I felt as if because I didn't have it together, that I was failing myself. I was failing my family.
Oof.
And I just didn't know which way to turn.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So here's a woman who was jumping out of planes, because we don't generally do that. You go from that type of life in your 20s to now in your late 40s, early 50s, feeling like a failure.
Absolutely.
Because you couldn't keep it all together.
Mm-hmm.
You had brain fog.
Yes.
Sleeplessness.
Yes.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. had the irritability showing up. Mm-hmm. You had a little bit of depression because feeling like Absolutely. A failure.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the anxiety of I'm losing myself in all of this. Mm-hmm. And I remember that was actually one of the conversations that you had with me was that you felt like you didn't know yourself at all.
Yes, I really felt like, and I don't even know if this sounds normal, but I felt like a stranger in my own body.
Mm.
And, you know, when I look at the different examples of women in my family, just seem like they have done the same thing that I was doing. It seemed like they was doing it effortlessly, but it just seemed like I just couldn't for whatever reason.
Right.
And so now, I guess comparing myself to others,
mm-hmm.
it was a battle.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. I remember one of the conversations when we talked about you not feeling like yourself and you feeling like a failure. Mm-hmm. I remember giving you the homework assignment, telling you, listen, you have got to go back and talk to these women in your family.
Mm-hmm.
Because we started really talking about perimenopause and menopause.
Yes.
And you were like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I was like, yes, honey, welcome. Yes. Here she is.
Yes.
And it's not an event. Mm-hmm. It's a process that we were going through
yes.
with you
mm-hmm.
that as we started to peel back those layers, you were like, well, wait a minute. I've been feeling like this for a long time.
Yes.
And yes. when you really started to look at how things were showing up and when they were showing up, you were mm-hmm. digging your heels in harder.
Yes.
And I was trying to get you to stop digging in your heels. And you were like, but no, this is what I do. Mm-hmm. And when we had our first session, I'll never forget it.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about self-care.
Ooh. Yes.
Y'all, it was like pulling teeth. I'm not talking about the front teeth where you just wait on it to get loose and you pull it out. I'm talking about them wisdom teeth in the back that are underneath the gums that they have to cut out. That's how it was with Daphne.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
took her the longest mm-hmm. to process self-care. Mm-hmm. Why was that?
I guess because now thinking back on it, I wasn't shown an example of what self-care was.
Mm-hmm.
You know how most of the time, if you have that mother figure, well, with my mom, and growing up, I would see my mom. She went to work every day. And then once I had my oldest, of course, she was helping me
mm-hmm.
to develop into the mother that I needed to be, and she was still working. Then her parents became older, so she became a caregiver to them.
Mm-hmm.
She was a caregiver, but she was still working. She was a mom. She was a wife. She was doing all of these things,
mm-hmm.
and it seemed like she just did it no problem.
Mm.
So that was the example that I saw, and so it seemed like she had it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And so now here it is, it comes my turn, and I'm crying in the shower every single day because I just can't hold it together. Mm-hmm. Not knowing, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what you've been shown. If you're not doing this, then you're not living up to the standards as far as what you've been shown.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was hard for you because there was this preconceived notion that your mom was this strong Black woman and you were not.
Absolutely.
And we had yes. to debunk that.
Yeah.
It took us yeah. a little while, but yes. we had to debunk that mm-hmm. simply because what you found out about the women in your family was what?
They were all going through it.
Yes. Yes.
They were all going through it, but they didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the fact of a lot of times where I can only speak for my family, you know, we just gonna pray about it and mm-hmm. we just gonna go on. But as far as the help that you need,
mm-hmm.
that's something that I don't know if they knew to go get
mm-hmm.
or those resources wasn't available
right.
or they weren't shown that. So they were only doing what they saw.
Mm-hmm. And the rest is history.
Yes.
Yeah. Because we, as Black women, we think and we've been conditioned early on
mm-hmm.
to take care of everybody else.
Yes.
I'm talking about early.
Yes.
Like, I was the oldest of three girls. So mm-hmm. I was, like, the third parent in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And even to this day, mm-hmm. you know, even though we're only 4 years apart, each one of us, there's 8 years between me and the baby, it's still understood you're the oldest.
Yeah.
And there's certain responsibilities that go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean you have to be this person that walks around with this cape that's flying in the wind behind you and this S on your chest. Mm-hmm. But there's a certain level of strength in being vulnerable and asking for help.
And that's something that I wasn't taught. As far as vulnerable, it equaled weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I'm now learning.
Mm-hmm.
And hoping that I'm able to show my daughters that, so they won't be crying in the shower, hopefully.
Or in the car.
Yes.
Because we do. And let's just be honest. If you've never had a good shower cried in, you know, sometimes you might be missing it.
Yeah.
But there have been times where even I was going, when I was going through it, mm-hmm. I was crying in the shower. I was crying in the car. Mm-hmm. I would have to pull over in certain spaces, like at the lake or somewhere, and just kind of get myself together. Mm-hmm. And like you, because I was going, and I was used to being on my A game. Mm-hmm. When I went from A game to B game, yes. I was like, okay, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And then when B game became C game, yeah. I was like, oh, hold on. And then when finally the C game went to the D game and the F game,
yes.
I was like you. I was feeling like a failure.
Yes.
And even though there were women in my family who I would see them fan, that's all I knew about menopause.
Absolutely. The only thing that you ever hear about is just hot flashes.
That's it. That's all you heard. Yeah. Nobody talked to us about the anxiety. Mm-hmm. Nobody talked to us about the depression. Yes. And I'm a therapist. I was like, why am I feeling anxious? Why mm-hmm. am I feeling depressed? Mm-hmm. Why am I not liking who I am?
Yes.
Because I started seeing stuff moving and I was like,
and jiggling.
Yeah, she said jiggling. Yeah, it was. And it wasn't where it was supposed to be. And the feelings that I was able to suppress, mm-hmm. I could no longer suppress them.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Emotions that would come up, I was like, I'm watching a movie and why am I crying? What mm-hmm. is going on?
Yes.
Yeah, I felt like a teenager again. That's how it really felt for me.
It sure does. That's exactly when. And having a teenager in the house and you're feeling like a teenager. And by the time I came to you, I'm like, Tracy, I'm about to pull all of these locks out of my head. I need some help because you're just all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I start learning what was happening to me, then I started re-rolling the tape back of my childhood. And I'm like, my mom was crashing out a whole lot,
mm-hmm.
not knowing. And even when I went to her to talk to her about it, because of course, some women really, they don't know what they're going through menopause.
Right.
And a procedure my mom had, it threw her.
It's oh, wow.
full menopause.
Okay.
And I think at like 37 or
38. Wow, that's young.
And so when I started talking to her about the things that was going on with me, she really couldn't relate
mm-hmm.
because it just seemed like it just hit her all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Or just like you said, the information that we now have, she didn't have before. Mm-hmm. So she didn't know what was going on.
Right.
So that's when it was like the aha moment. Like, mom, my daughter. Hopefully she don't see this, but we didn't have it together, you know? And I was just like, okay. And I started becoming, I guess, more, I don't know the word that I'm trying to use, but it was the fact that I was just like, okay, you're not a failure.
Yeah.
This is just something that you're going to have to go through.
Yeah.
And hopefully tell others.
Yeah.
So now it's like, when I see a woman in a grocery store, I'm like, girl. We probably going through the same thing.
But let me show you.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And I think the word I wanted to use with you was be compassionate.
Yes.
Be compassionate with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had put so much pressure on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started talking about self-care with you, mm-hmm. it was almost like you were ready to be given permission to exhale.
Yeah.
But you were waiting on it to happen, but you were afraid to say, okay, I can put the balls down.
Yeah.
Not let the balls fall, mm-hmm. but I can put them down.
Yeah.
And if I put them down, I can pick them back up.
Yes.
So you graduated.
Yes.
And you were like, okay, I'm going to open up my own salon.
Yeah.
How did you make that transition from all of the responsibilities you had to now putting one more huge responsibility on your plate?
Yeah. I think the first thing was because I wanted to try to initially help my husband, you know, because he worked so hard and everything else. So I was like, well, maybe I'm able to kind of just lift the load, you know, once again, trying to help, you know. So, but it was something that I knew I wanted to do for me.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting here saying, even when I talked to him about it and he cheered me on, I think you should do this, 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 that, and the other. I'm sitting here and at night I was like, well, how am I going to find time to do this? Or how am I going to do this? Or how am I going to do that? And it's just that 3 o'clock voice that you have when your eyes pop open, you know, when parents pretty much knocking on the door, like, girl, I'm here.
Yep.
And it seemed like the more he cheered me on, the more I was finding fault not to do it.
Yeah.
But I pushed through.
You did.
I did.
You pushed through.
Yes.
And you pushed through. Y'all, she had a schedule that was, it was so crazy. Yes. Tell them what type of schedule you had.
Oh, boy. So when I was in school and I was driving back and forth to Valdosta, I went to
which is about an hour and a half, right?
So I would leave home right about, I guess, 5:30 to make sure I would get to school on time. So I would get there at 8, from 8 to about 2:30, 3 o'clock. I was in school. I would drive back home. I would get to the shop maybe about between 5:30, and I would pretty much work until 9:30.
And how many days a week was this?
This was 6 days a week.
Six.
Yeah.
There's only 7 days in a week, y'all. This was 6 days. And remember, she's a mother and a wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 6 out of 7 days, you were doing this.
Yes.
Yeah. And being a loctician means you're on your feet.
Yes.
Means you're in somebody else's hair.
Yes.
Which means you're in their energy. Mm-hmm. They're in your energy. There's there's this exchange of energy.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
And you've got this shop that you've got to keep up. You've got all of this going on. Mm-hmm. And you're leaving the shop at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night.
Yes.
After being on your feet for 4 and 5 hours, and you're going home to be a mom and a wife.
Yes.
Only to get up the next day.
And do it all over again.
And do it all over again.
Yes.
So one of the things that you and I talked about was this crazy schedule that you had that left absolutely no room for self-care.
Yes.
So one of the things that we talked about in self-care was making sure you made time for you. What did that look like for you?
I can remember when you gave me the exercise and the first thing you said was, what was my definition of self-care? And I said, oh, going to get a manicure, pedicure, a massage. And you just had this blank look on your face.
Yep, like, no, that's not it.
And I'm looking at you, you looking at me. And I couldn't think of anything else past that because that's all that I knew. And you was like, no, that's not it. But I didn't know of anything else. So when you was telling me, okay, you're going to have to carve out some time to do this. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying to myself, did she not know it's 24 hours a day?
1,440 minutes in the day. Wait a minute. What she want me to do? And that's the look you had in your face. You were like, listen, didn't I just tell you what my schedule looked like? Does it look like I got time for self-care? And I was like, but we're going to make some time.
Yeah.
And you dug in your heels.
Yes.
Yeah. And one of the things that I challenged you to do was to change your schedule.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel to get that assignment?
At first, when I guess I can go ahead and say this now. When I left that session with you, I'm like, I'm not doing what Tracy says. I mean, you know, hey, her household is her household. And I'm, you know, for a good 30 minutes, I walked around the house and I was just like, I don't care what she said. But then I have to see here and I have to say, you reached out to her. You needed that help. You've been doing it your way for this long and it's not working. You have to do something else. And then when I sat there and, you know, I just kind of thought about my daughters and I thought about my husband. I said, I owe it to them.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I owe it to myself.
Exactly.
So I said, we're going to try this thing that Tracy says. And even when I sat and I was jotting down just everything that I was doing, I still could not see how could I carve out this time. Mm-hmm. It was still hard, even though you gave me some tools mm-hmm. on what I needed to do, it still was not registering mm-hmm. because that it was so unknown. It was something that I haven't seen.
Yeah. Your chaos felt normal to you.
It did.
Yeah. And when we got to the point to where you allowed yourself to bring peace in, mm-hmm. it felt foreign to you.
It did.
It really did. I remember when you told me what your schedule was mm-hmm. and you said, I only give myself 15 minutes in between clients. I went, oh God, no, no, we got to change that. Mm-hmm. And we actually ended up making you more productive when we changed your schedule.
You sure did. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That and mm-hmm. listen, when you realized that you were more productive in the way that we kind of moved your schedule around, listen, you showed, you had a whole different glow in your face. Like, wait a minute, this feels so good mm-hmm. to be able to be more productive
yes.
and to put up a boundary that allowed me. Because mm-hmm. we did some physical boundaries, but yes. we also did some emotional boundaries and some time boundaries.
Yes.
That you were able to say, oh my God, it really does feel good to be able to take care of me. Mm-hmm. And it didn't feel selfish.
Yes.
Y'all, listen to what she did to her salon. Tell the people what you actually put in your salon.
So I remember when we talked about just carving out a space mm-hmm. where I could pretty much just go in and just kind of relax in between clients mm-hmm. or whatever. And before, you know, I was trying to maximize my space to pretty much just service the clients as much as I could.
Right.
And after I started doing the work, or we started doing the work, I just changed the whole room.
She changed the whole room.
I mean, we got sofa, we got a lazy boy, we have a small water fountain that's in mm-hmm. the inside, and it just became my space.
Yeah.
Even to the point that I would tell my husband, hey, I need to go clean up the shop. And I would just go to the salon and just sit in the lazy boy.
We got to cut that part out, y'all.
But it just felt like it was just something I had just never felt before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Giving yourself that time during the day. But not only did you do that, but you do something every morning now.
Yes.
And she blamed me for this, y'all. She actually blamed me for this. What do you do every morning now?
So when you were first telling me about self-care and you was telling me about walking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to the point that I started walking and, you know, pretty much I listen to a podcast, I listen to a sermon, or I have a 16-year-old, so sometimes I walk in silence
that part.
I'm talking to the Lord. And it was just at the point that I just felt that peace.
Mm-hmm.
It was just to the point that I was just giving myself that me time,
yes.
that self-care that I needed. And my husband started noticing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was getting ready to walk because, you know, he works from 3 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
So in the morning he was like, well, hey, babe, I'll go with you today. And I was like, and I said, well, Tracy said,
see how she blamed me on that one, y'all. Tracy said
that I need to walk by myself. But then I said, okay, well, you know, I'll let him walk mm-hmm. with me this. And then I walk later on that evening to mm-hmm. make sure that I got that time.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't want to cheat myself.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it every morning. I know my oldest, she lives in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. She came home to visit. And I have two grandpups. And so everybody wanted to walk as a family.
Okay.
And I'm sitting here and I'm
You're trying to figure out how to get out of it.
I'm trying to get out of it. So, you know, everybody went walking. You know, my two daughters was in front. Me and my husband, we were in the back. And the whole time that I was sitting here and I was thinking, I was like, well, if we could finish in time, maybe I could sneak off and I could still do that walk by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, still enjoy family, but I still needed that time for me, even though I was glad that we all walked as a family. And it's just making myself that priority
yes.
and not feeling guilty about it.
Yes.
So
I love that. Making myself a priority and not feeling guilty about it.
Yes.
So how are your relationships now?
When I tell you, I still have a 16-year-old.
Yeah, but God bless you. Yeah.
But when my oldest, that when she sits here, she say, Mom, I see the change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, I see the change, the conversations we have, because like I say, she's 30.
Yeah.
And one of the things where they talked about perimenopause, as far as with African-American women, we go through it early.
We go through it early. Our symptoms are more intense and we stay in it longer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm constantly, because now I'm trying to, the thing, just like I said, when I saw what my mom is constantly going.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's doing now, that she's working on her master's and she's constantly going. So when I'm talking to her and I'm constantly saying, look, you're going to have to slow down.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do some type of self-care. She's like, who is this woman and what did you do with my mom? And it's the fact that even my husband say, I see the change.
You know,
it's the fact that even with my 60-year-old, I mean, boy, you know, we were constantly be like that. But it's to the point now that I can even have more patience with her because I done took care of me. So now that I can take care of them.
Yes.
Compared to before, I was giving everybody anything and it was absolutely nothing left for me.
Yes.
So
I am so happy to see that you were able to see yourself as this really, really important person.
Yes.
And you did the work. Mm-hmm. That was the thing. You trusted yourself enough to do the work, to put yourself first, and realizing that putting yourself first didn't take away from everybody else.
Right.
It made it better.
Absolutely.
It made it better. And you were able to actually have more clients.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Stretch your schedule out that allowed you to spend more time with yourself, on yourself, for yourself.
Yes.
You became more productive in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point that you recently had a procedure.
Yes.
And because you were so peaceful and healthy going in, that the procedure was a success.
It was. Yes.
And you were able to really tap into your own healing as you went through the whole thing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. Before, when they was telling me I needed to have the procedure done, and I found every excuse not to. Every excuse not to, even to the point that, you know, when I was talking to my husband about it, I was like, I can't leave my clients for that long, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. And I can remember I even text you and say, hey, you know, I had the procedure done. I'm resting well. Thank you so much for it. And when I tell you now, I feel so amazing now.
I love it.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, I am so glad that you decided to come on and share your story today. Thank you for accepting the invitation, because I wanted women to hear that it's not selfish to put yourself first, that putting yourself first actually allows you to show up better for you and for everybody else.
Yes.
And so you are the poster girl for that. And I was like, you know what? The world has got to hear Daphne's story, because you went from this life that jumping out of planes. I can't say that enough. Like, what? From jumping out of planes to feeling like a failure.
Absolutely.
And now here you are, the poster woman for what self-care looks like.
Yes.
So thank you, Daphne, for coming on. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Y'all, that is another episode of the Empowered Midlife. Daphne made a decision that self-care was not selfish. She put herself first. And as a result, she is the poster child of what self-care looks like. So if you are ready to do the same thing, let's have a conversation about how you can live an empowered midlife. Until the next episode, I'm Dr. T.